And we'd like to welcome the radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. If you are blessed by this radio ministry and would like to help support it, your gift would be very appreciated. Gifts may be sent to Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour. We would like to thank Debbie Paffenberger and Neil for sponsoring the radio in honor of Trinity members. We also have a few radio announcements. Trinity United Methodist Church is again offering a chance for us to meet and bless our neighborhood as we offer a trunk and treat in our parking lot on Saturday, October 30th from 6 to 8. Please join us for an evening of fun. And then on Saturday, November 6th from 9 to 1, our Frosty Fest Craft and Market Show will take place. We have several vendors signed up to show off their lovely crafts and items they have to sell. Once again, this is November 6th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at 333 South Chestnut Street.
And now we will be blessed by our lovely choir singing, Be Thou My Vision.
And I would also say that if anybody in the sanctuary wants to join along, you can find it on page 451. You're always welcome.
Oh, I will. Today will be Mark 7, 24 through 37. I would also like to invite all of you to come to our Unity service tonight at 6 p.m.
All right, Mark 7, 24 through 37. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek born in Syrian. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. First, let the children eat all they want, he told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she replied, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, for such a reply you may go. The demon has left your daughter. She went home and found her child laying on the bed and the demon gone. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hand on the man. After he took him aside, Away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened. His tongue was loosened and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." And now, our sermon by Pastor Angel Abshire, Conquering Darkness and Deliverance.
Beloved, we are in the time of year where portals are opened to darkness. Right as Halloween approaches, people begin playing around with things that they have no business playing around with. And they do serious spiritual harm. Some of them are harmless, saying Bloody Mary over and over again in the mirror, expecting to see her face pop up. Some, seances out at the cemetery, Ouija boards, things of this nature. There is evil in this world. There is human evil, and there are the principalities and powers of darkness. The way that I see spiritual warfare play out most is when the enemy deceives our mind with lies and creates wedges between one another. For whatever reason, somebody who we have had a great relationship with says or does something, and the enemy, the accuser, the adversary, the deceiver, twists our emotions and our thinking. That is why it is so very important that we take every thought captive to Christ. That is why it is so important that we put the armor of God on. Romans 8:11 tells us that we have the same power within us that rose Jesus from the grave. We have the same power that the disciples did. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the power of the living Lord Jesus to work through us. When we come together in one accord as a church family and worship and pray, there is mighty power in that. There is mighty power in agreement of prayer. Jesus' ministry approximately was divided into three thirds. The first one being the preaching and teaching that he did. The second one being the healings that he did. And the third one being deliverance. And that's one that we kind of shy away from. Because the way that it is described in the Bible, we look at that and say, we don't see demon-possessed people walking down the street, hissing and doing all kinds of crazy things and tearing at their flesh or being bound in a garden and getting free of it. But we do still have demons. Some of them are of humanity, excessive pride, a need for control, a shame that cripples us. And some of them are the demonic that we hear of in the Bible. Beloved, you hear more about spiritual warfare and the deceiver's tricks than you hear about heaven in the Word. Why do you think that is? Do you think that changed? I know this church. This church does not want the Word of God altered. You know, the other day when I sat with Mike Womack, he told me stories that I know to be true. I know I had professors that tried to explain away all the miracles. I know that there are pastors who get up and preach every Sunday that do not believe that Jesus physically rose from the dead. I know that there are people who want to scientifically explain all of the healings, and maybe that science has a part in it. That does not negate the fact that it was a healing and a miracle. The same is true of spiritual warfare and of the need for deliverance. It's all in here if we read it. And my belief is that I can't alter, I can't pick and choose what verses I take out of the beloved Word of God. Yes, it was translated by men. And maybe there are pieces that have been altered a little bit in translation at times. We can do a word study and go back and see what that word truly meant. Come to me, I'll show you how to do it. It's pretty easy. But that word is still the Holy Spirit breathed, inspired Word of God. And I stand upon it and I believe every word in it, and I can't pick and choose what I take out of it. I can't alter it. Russian novelist Fyodor Dostoevsky, or something of like that, wrote, "God and the devil are at war in this universe, and their battlefield is the human heart." Just after Christ's transfiguration, one of these skirmishes is to be seen. When Jesus was transfigured, the entire mountain shone with the light of the Holy Spirit. The couple of trusted apostles who were blessed with seeing that looked up and seen Jesus. His clothing and his skin appeared brilliant white. And with him was Moses. And with him was Elijah. And when Peter finally regained his voice, he looked up and he said, "Lord, Lord, it is good. It is good that we are here. Let us build." He wanted to make tents for them to sleep in. He wanted to do all he could to serve his Lord. And Jesus said no. And he sent them back down the mountain, where they encountered a child who was possessed. I believe in oppression. I believe in the spiritual warfare that creates wedges between people. I believe in the deceiver planting thoughts in our mind that can trick us. And I believe that possession is possible. I believe that there is more oppression pushing us down, making us feel unworthy. I know for me, myself, I ran from my call for well over 10 years because I didn't feel that I was worthy of doing God's work. But read your word. He used cracked vessels all the time. By the way, a cup showed up on my desk this morning. I'll have to give you all the same warning that's on the outside of that cup. It says, "Pastor, be careful what you say. It might end up in a sermon." I won't take anything confidential and use it in a message. 1 John 3:8 explains, "The reason the Son of Man appeared to destroy the devil's work." Christ, you see, never met a demon that he did not dislike, and he met quite a few of them. At his temptation in the wilderness, Luke 4, at his first sermon, Mark 1, while ministering at Gadara, Mark 5, here, among many others, is a mother's beloved child. Christ always dealt with the demon swiftly with all the authority given to him. And he gave this ministry to his followers. We have the power to cast that out. We have the authority to trample on scorpions and snakes. We have the authority in Jesus' name to do these things. Not all of us are equipped to do it. I'll remind you of the seven sons of Sceppan. They went up and tried to cast out demons in Jesus' name, not believing in it themselves, and the demons rose up and tore them up. So we want to know what our gifts are before we head down that path. But we have the same power that rose Jesus from the grave. If we would believe, study our word, invite the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to empower us. Many Christians are fearful of taking on Satan, or they say to me, Pastor, I don't blame all my troubles on the devil. Well, I don't blame all my troubles on the devil either. I take personal responsibility for my own actions. And beloved, most of the evil that we run into is either our own choices or another human evil, another wounded soul perpetrating evil against us. But we are called not to wrestle against flesh and blood. We are called to see behind whatever it is that's coming at us. We are called to ask the question, what does God want me to learn from this situation? And we are called to think about the fact that maybe, just maybe, it is the evil one trying to create a wedge, trying to dishearten us so much that we think we cannot go on. Luke 10:17 explains that Jesus sent out to minister with the disciples, and they returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. So today, from the story of the little girl tormented by demons, let us take just a general look at deliverance and answer a few questions. First off, who? Who is this presence in this child? The text says the child was possessed by a spirit. It mentions demon, unclean spirit. In Greek, demon is demonoia, or something very close to that. My tongue gets a little tangled there sometimes. Meaning devils. The scripture explains that demons are spirits, Matthew 12:43-45. Satan's emissaries, Matthew 12:26-27. They are numerous, Mark 5:9. They seek embodiment to do evil. They seek to enter into a body so that they can work evil out. They seek to oppress people so much that good is not done through them. The only thing that it takes for evil to thrive is for good people to remain silent. For good people to turn from knowing the truth and speaking the truth. From saying, no matter what happens, I am going to remain united in Christ. And then evil flourishes. It is said that once a demon is cast out, they can return if we do not fill ourselves. That's why it is so important with addiction or with any other struggle that we have. Once we get rid of that, we need to be in the church. We need to be in the Word. We need to be in prayer. And we need to let other people know that we're struggling. I had a beautiful saint say to me this morning, I'm struggling, but I got up and I got dressed and I came here. And it broke my heart because I had thought of this saint last week and didn't call. We need to follow those leadings of the Spirit. When we think of someone, we do need to call. And we as a church body need to say when we are struggling severely, because if we're struggling by ourselves, we are more vulnerable to evil. Satan works in predominantly three ways. He tempts. This is simply the enticement to do evil. He places it before us and tries to plant in our minds excuses why we can go ahead and do this. See 1 Corinthians 10:13. He oppresses. This is a temptation often succumbed to, which forms a bad habit. And once we succumb to it. 2 Corinthians 10:4 calls it a stronghold. Once we succumb to some type of evil, whether it be gossip, whether it be drinking, whether it be pornography, it gets a stronghold on us, and we cannot break it on our own. We have to ask for prayer from others. And if that stronghold is deep enough, we need deliverance. Then there is possession, which is to be literally invaded, lived in, and controlled by evil. This can happen to people. Mark 5, animals. Mark 5 and Genesis 3. And even nature, as in an untoward storm, lightning, wind, and storms, Job 1 and 12. In using his three powers of tempting, oppressing, and possessing, Satan is 100% bent on destroying Christ and his works. He follows no rules, and he is not a gentleman. And beloved, when we are hard-pressed the most, when we are extremely discouraged, when it looks like all around us is failing, that's because we are a threat to the kingdom of darkness. And we have to stand strong. We have to let that light shine. We have to be in the Word praying. Pray the scriptures over people. I've given them to you before, but I'll give them to you again. To pray over your church, to pray over your family, to pray over your pastor, to pray over yourself. Pray the scriptures back at God. Call God on His Word. Lord, You promised. We have to be even more strong when things look the most bleak. Because when they look that bleak, it means we are being effective for God. Because if we're being effective for God, the evil one is going to hunt us down and use every tactic in his box to come against us. How? The third question, how did this demon get into this child? Verse 26 mentions, cast it out. Well, who put it there in the first place? In this case, Scripture does not tell us. It is a mystery. But some paths that Satan uses to embody people include overindulging in natural desires. For example, a teen dealing with all the hormones in their body, dealing with the perverseness of this world, getting involved in movies, getting involved in the occult, dabbling with tarot cards, dabbling with the Ouija board, dabbling with seeing psychics. Beloved, that psychic has one or two things at their dismissal. One, they've had a fair amount of psychology and they draw from you what you want to hear. And even more dangerous, they can out and out tell you things that nobody has ever known. I remember when I first came to the Lord, way back in recovery, I went to the spiritualist camp in Chesterfield. All I did was write my name down and my birthday down on a piece of paper for an appointment. I got there and this man told me all kinds of things that had happened in my past and all kinds of things that were going to happen in my future. And they did. But that was not of God. The Holy Spirit gives the gift of prophecy to people, and that predominant gift is not foretelling of the future. That predominant gift is speaking forth God's word in a way that that particular audience can understand it. Yes, sometimes it does mean the foretelling of the future. But the evil one has knowledge, just as there are angels all around us. There is the principalities and powers of darkness that the Word speaks of. And it makes me angry that there's these shysters that play upon people who are grieving and hurting so bad And they want to know if their loved one is in heaven, if they're doing okay. And you go and see one of them, and they either use psychology and tell you what they think you want to hear, or just like the witch at Endor, just like bringing up Samuel, Saul knew better. They tell you things that no one else could know, and they get you in their clutches. Another way is when we harden our heart and sear our conscience. If we don't remain open to the Holy Spirit pricking our heart and turning us another direction, anger is a powerful thing, beloved. When we are hurting, when we don't understand something, when we're frustrated, when there's something going on that's difficult to deal with, it is so easy to find power in anger. I know, I've done it. Anger is a powerful feeling. It makes you feel in control, which is far better in our minds than feeling out of control. But sometimes it's the Holy Spirit that wants to get us to submit to Him. And we have a feeling of things being out of control. If we operate in the realm of the human, the anger, the control, the pride, the defensiveness, pushing everybody away, I don't need any help, I'm okay, we can then become oppressed and on occasion possessed. Satan can also enter a person by invitation. The desire for power leads some to ask for the devil's presence in their life. You see, beloved, we start off dabbling with stupid stuff like seances, tarot cards, mediums, Ouija boards. And we open a portal that not only affects us, but it affects the next several generations. And I know this for a fact. This is the things that my family did. I took some serious counseling to come against that so that my children and my grandchildren would not be affected by it. You cannot take those things lightly. And the reason this sermon is placed here today is so that you all will be praying throughout this week. Because inevitably, at this time of the year, we have teenagers, young people, even older people doing stupid things that open portals. And it doesn't just affect them. It affects their family as well. Like I said, when we have something happen like this in our lives, we evict it, we cast it out. But even more importantly, we fill ourselves with the reading of the Word. We fill ourselves with prayer for others. We have to get really humble when there's hard things happening in our lives and ask others to pray for us and to support us. Some of the symptoms in the Bible of someone being possessed is having unexplainable physical strength, having a carnal appetite, which is out of control, self-destructive tendencies, and rage, pride, and rebelliousness. Beloved, I've been caught in that rebellion. When we rebel against whatever the Lord is calling us to give up, however the Lord is calling us to move, that sets oppression in place right then and there. Rebellion is as witchcraft, the Word tells us. In the heat of the summer, God sends a cool front to break a drought. Where cold and warm air collide, a violent storm happens, full of lightning and full of thunder, wind and rain. That storm happens in the kingdom of God as well. That storm happens within each one of us. There is a fight for our souls. For me, one of the greatest issues with the enemy, the deceiver, is the way that he works upon our minds. the way that he twists our emotions and creates wedges and causes us to question one another, to doubt one another, to doubt God, to doubt what God has said to us. It tells us in the Word that the last days, and I don't know how long the last days are, but in the last days, son will turn against father, mother against daughter, brother against brother. Who do you think creates that kind of division? But beloved, we have the same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power to cast out demons, the same power to pray in Jesus' name, the same power to offer forgiveness. We will not be taken. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, that same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us. That same power moves mountains when he speaks. That same power can calm a raging sea, whether it be a literal sea or the sea that lives within us.